This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 261 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, Glyn downloaded it but haven't installed it, Lavender from Creative Photo Workshops. How are you?
You even got the name of the company right. Hello, Comet. Downloaded it, haven't installed it, didn't read up on it, don't really know what I'm talking about. Just Googled it a minute ago. Get it right.
How you been?
You know, I've been, since I got rid of this pesky sort of guest that was here earlier in the week, since then it's been great.
Excellent.
It's been days since we've seen each other.
It has.
That's not something we can say very often.
No.
Being we live the odd, 700 miles apart or something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
It's I've been had a good week, a varied week, that has gone so
contained
fast
7 days.
Well, yeah, not so far.
Give it take.
It feels more like 4.5.
Right.
There's been no time to do anything this week. Haven't felt like I've achieved anything this
hang
week.
Hang on. That's my catch cry. You don't get to use that catch cry because you only work 2 days a week.
Yeah, it's amazing how little time there still is to do stuff, isn't it? You know? Just amazing. So, yeah, it's just been one of those weeks. I mean, I've been trying to get – I'm off to Queensland next week. Yeah. Then I'm back for a day, then off to the US. And there's lots of stuff I need to do before I go. And I'm just not getting anywhere near it.
Yeah, right.
Not getting anywhere near it. So we'll see how the next few days progress if I start pulling my hair out and pulling some late-nighters.
Right. So how long are you up in Queensland?
Fly up Thursday, back Monday night, so whatever that is. It's 5 days.
4 or 5 days, yeah.
Five days, all up. Then it's at home for a day, then off to the US for 2 weeks.
So. Right. Wow.
Much the joy of my family.
Yeah.
And I've fortunately, for the second year in a row, booked to be away for the weekend of Mother's Day.
You wouldn't be too popular with that.
It's not about me. It was worse when I was away for Father's Day. That was bad. Trying to avoid doing that again. other than that, I've been very well.
Excellent.
And have you done anything interesting this week, Bruce?
I went out and shot with this crazy guy who kept getting in the way of my shots.
Oh, it wasn't like that's an annoying alpha male prats, were you? I hate those types.
I had a great time on Monday. Thank you.
We had a lot of fun, didn't we? It was good. We didn't agree with each other's photos at all times.
No.
That's the way it kind of should be.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I know you're not used to seeing things the right way.
look, I can appreciate that you have had a hell of a lot more experience shooting people than I have had.
Yeah.
And that's going to give you an insight that I haven't yet got.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
While I absolutely,
disagree.
Bow down to your expertise as a people shooter, like all jokes aside, no, I really do respect your ability to shoot people. You do it really, really well.
Thank you.
But there's no...
There's always a but.
But this is a good but.
Okay.
But there's no advantage to me to continually just follow your lead all of the time.
No, you're
because
right.
That doesn't teach me what works and what doesn't. Like obviously everyone's different, but I'm the kind of person who learns something by doing it for myself. And so...
Yeah, but when I left you alone to do it by yourself, you were coming out with crap. I had to polish what you were doing to make it decent.
But it's only by making the mistakes that you can learn and move forward.
Only if you see the mistakes.
Yeah, okay.
I'm terrible with song lyrics. Okay?
Right.
Terrible.
Yeah.
I can sing the wrong lyric in the song for 20 years.
Yeah.
And then my wife will point it out to you and say, you realize that's not the lyrics? What do you mean? Yeah, it's not the right lyrics. So what do you mean? And she tells the real ones. No. So we rewind it. And sure enough, she's my wife. She's always right. And that's the thing, until I see the mistake, I blindly go along, keep doing the same bad lyrics.
Yeah.
To the utter delight, of a particular band I liked years ago, on one of their forums was, post up your favorite misheard lyrics of the band.
Yeah, right.
So I thought, I've got this one. I stupidly say this all the time because I knew I was wrong. So I've typed that up on there and I was pretty proud of myself because it was pretty stupid.
Yeah.
And everyone's come back and said, no, those are the lyrics.
Nice.
Yeah, ring a bell and I'll salivate. I thought I was bound to be wrong with that.
Well, that makes sense. Pavlov's dog.
Yeah. But, you know, I wasn't thinking anyway. So, but this is the, you know, sometimes, yes, it's okay to go your own path, but it's like I could go and try and teach myself golf. But if I'm, and I could be doing it wrong for ages. And
yeah.
If there's no one there to say, but, you know, the big bit of the club goes at the bottom. Yeah.
Right.
You don't hold that. That could be why you're having difficulties. You know what I mean? Until someone says, yeah, well, yeah, but having all that aside, and you're totally valid in everything you say anyway, but it's always still good to shoot with other people just to see that difference.
Oh, definitely.
Both the difference to the way you see things, which validates me as a human being. You know, so we just see each other's perspectives. And that's what I was saying, I think, was it last week or the week before, about vision is changing. That's because we're changing, because we are different people. We have different vision.
Yeah.
And it's great to always hang around with people, and especially for me, not in a teaching capacity, because then everyone just follows my vision, which is kind of boring.
Yeah.
So it is, and whilst I may not agree, it's still good to see it. You know what I mean? It's still good to see other people's perspective of the same environmental shot.
Yep.
But seen totally differently.
Yep.
And this week, one of my wife's ex co-workers, his daughter's got to do a project on school on learning, and she's chosen photography to be the thing that she shows growth in.
Right.
And so he asked me if I could put together, yeah, you know, some materials for her to be able to show progressive growth.
Right.
And it's only by sometimes going back to that absolute basics, you know, the absolute, I know absolutely nothing, and I've got to go out and take photographs knowing absolutely nothing.
Yep.
Sometimes you have to strip everything right back to the absolute basics and build up from there again to see and understand how you do stuff again, or even just to reaffirm or just remember stuff.
Right.
So that was kind of an interesting exercise for me doing that. And I ended up doing a list of both written questions and photos she had to go do with no knowledge. Then I gave her a couple of websites that have some basic, you know, sort of pretty much just understanding, you know, terminologies and explaining terminologies. So she had to then read through that and then go out and take the same photos again, having now at least read a little bit about what these things mean.
Right.
And then write, answer the same questions now with this new knowledge, just to see if she's got a bit more of a grasp on how it works. And then I'm going to bring her along to an understanding my camera, your camera workshop, where I will tell her how it's, you know, my perspective of how the reality is. And then she's got to go back and answer the same questions and take the same photos again.
Wow.
But now hopefully with a different visual knowledge and a visual understanding about how to make things more dynamic. So I thought that's a good way to show a, you know, 15-year-old kid showing progress on something and going back to that very basics and having to go step by step through a process is kind of cool. I think it's something we should do reasonably often is go back and really get the fundamentals right again, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's why golfers go and just do the basic swing over and over again, or they go and putt.
Yeah.
You know, they go and put a practice putt in, you know. It's to keep that you know, memory in our brains just always, you know, instinctively doing stuff rather than being getting dusty on the shelves.
Yeah, well, I think I mentioned to you that Max and I have taken up archery.
You did.
And our archery coach, he was saying that the Korean Olympic archers, they have to hold their bow without an arrow and go from a rest position where your bow is held at sort of arm's length down by your side and lift it up in front of them, and then with, you know, assuming they're a right-handed archer like I am, they're holding their bow with their left hand and they draw the string with their right hand. And they have to bring it up to, like, the shoot position, draw the string right back to the jaw, because when you draw properly, you rest the knuckles of your forefinger against your jawline, and then let the string back down gently, because you never dry fire a bow, because you can break the bow, because the energy wouldn't get transferred to an arrow, because there's no arrow there, so it gets transferred into the limbs of the bow and it can snap them. So they have to bring this thing up, draw the string back to the shoot position, and then let it down gently, and then put the, you know, then drop the bow down to their side again. And they have to go through that 2,000 times before they're allowed to pick up an arrow.
Wow.
And really it's just to get that muscle memory of you know, this is where it goes, and this is where you draw to, and this is where your knuckle should be on your jaw, and
But it's also, you need to be doing that without thinking about it. That's got to be instinctive.
Well, that's muscle memory.
Where people pick up cameras, and which was my shutter speed, or which buttons, where's my ISO button? That sort of stuff is a problem.
Yeah,
that stuff anchors you in technology rather than creativity.
Yeah,
That inability to be able to change, you know, shutter speed, aperture, ISO, white balance whilst looking through the viewfinder.
That
instinctive. If you had to pull the camera up to your eye 2,000 times and change those things, you'd sure as hell know how to do it.
I reckon I'd know after about 6.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You know, it's. We'd hope so. We just don't do that. Yeah. People just don't do that. They just don't, handle their equipment enough. you gotta be doing it all the time. Be so aware of every function on your camera that you use on a regular basis.
Yep.
Because the second you have to think about it, you're stepping away from the moment of shooting, and therefore your creativity goes down. And it takes time to get back into it, and it's all just blah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's so incredibly common. You know, people, as I said, you know, people have been shooting for years and years and years, don't know how to change an ISO. Yeah, they don't know how. Don't know what an aperture is. It's just the basics, you know. Wow. It always makes me wonder, why do you keep on going?
Yeah.
It's doubtful you would have found.
Yep.
Interest and delight in continuing to do the same thing over and over again.
I'll say this on the podcast because I know that no one who I'm about to talk about will actually ever hear this. I work with people who spend their whole careers working in Microsoft Word, right? It's their job to write scripts.
Yeah.
And they don't understand some of the most basic features of a word processor.
Wow.
Like, what the hidden characters are for, you know, and things like that just blow me away. Hey,
aren't they the superheroes? It's the Batman character. He's coming out of his bat cave.
And it just blows me away that people who, you know, work with this software for a living have never gone beyond the very, very basics.
Yeah. Of font this is changing, how, yeah, font size,
that's exactly,
bold, italics, underline, that's save.
That's it.
Save as. Yeah. And maybe spell check. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mind you, if you've looked at any newspapers over the last 2 years, there's no one uses spell check anymore.
No, that's right. It's amazing how many times I see scripts come through where all of the copy is on one page, but because they've put 50 line breaks, there's actually 2 pages to the document. So when you print it, you get a spare page come out of the printer. Things like that to me seem ridiculously basic, you know.
Anyway, as you say, I did some other shooting other than with you this week.
Oh, okay.
I shot the solar eclipse. I'm not sure if you saw my Facebook photo. I shot the solar eclipse because it was one of those unique solar eclipses. It's the ring of fire eclipse.
Yes.
Which is where you've just got the moon and just the ring of fire around the outside. Well, you know, all day down here it was pouring with rain and incredibly low overcast all day long.
Right. You must have shot with the wrong white balance because every other shot I saw was orange and yours were blue.
Did you see it? So it was overcast and rainy at the pinnacle moment of the thing. So I shot the gas burner on my stove. Just for a bit of fun.
Just for a ring of fire.
But I didn't say in my post, I didn't say that I shot the sun. I said at the moment of the eclipse, I took this photo.
Yeah. Just,
you know, it's semantics, I'll admit. But the amount of people go, oh, that's amazing. And I'm going, yeah, and I did it with my iPhone. So a bunch of people got that it was not the actual solar eclipse, but a lot of people didn't. But that was a little bit of fun. Then I did another iPhone shoot last night.
Oh, okay.
I went and saw Michael Bublé.
Oh, yeah.
I got boobled.
Right.
And took the iPhone, and we're third row center from the right smack bang in front of his face. So that was cool. A good distance for the iPhone to work. Yeah. Had some fun with that. Cool. And then today's Understanding Your Camera workshop, because we're recording on a Friday for once because of other schedule problems. Googled last night.
Yeah.
I shot these two. I took like four photos, but I took these two cracking shots of one guy and one girl at the workshop that I just love.
Right,
I just like the photos. Just normal everyday people shot really well.
Yeah, right.
And so I was rather pleased with myself. Yeah, because cool. I haven't done much creative shooting. Yeah, this week I did some crappy stuff on my money. I didn't take any pull out any of the good stuff when I was with that guy from Sydney. I left all the crud. Yeah, I only pulled out the crud and left all the good stuff for another time.
Excellent.
It's just nice to just a couple of nice window portraits. It feels like it's been a while since I've done one.
Yeah, right.
So that was rather good. And then tomorrow, I'm going out with a small private group, and we're shooting a male ballet dancer, which I'm looking forward to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Something so different.
I'm even breaking out the big meter size octa boxes.
Oh, nice.
To shoot with the Quadras to get I want to get some really beautiful light, hopefully. So
you must be excited if you're prepared to put in that much effort.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I've got other people to hold it to carry the stuff, which kind of helps. Then I did a shoot of the girls, my two daughters. My parents bought the girls these two little white dresses for Christmas.
Right.
And they've been going on and on about, I've seen photos of everything else, but not wearing those dresses. Yeah. So I went out and did a gorgeous natural light shoot with them. Yeah. Got a couple of just cracking, beautiful photos.
Those were the ones on the dirt road.
On the dirt road, just with a little basket with flowers and just skipping along and stuff. It was a beautiful light, great afternoon light. That's the photo shoot with the kids everyone did see this week.
Right.
Then there was the photo shoot that no one, including my wife, has even seen.
Oh, why?
Because they're the ones where I end up throwing the bag back in the freaking car, slamming the doors, shoving the kids in head first. And,
why? What went wrong?
Never work with kids or animals, Bruce.
Oh, right.
Never. Miss 3-year-old, okay, everyone's been in the toilet, everyone's fine, right, let's go, we get there, I need to go to the toilet.
No.
And then she's crying because it just all fell in a heap, and the light was going, and it was just all just not working, I was having a problem with my 6D where I couldn't change apertures. It was stuck on 6.3 since Monday.
Right.
It was stuck on at 6.3, and I couldn't change.
Just on one lens?
On all lenses, all brands,
Wow.
And it was just like, what the hell is going on? And so it just, I got like one shot of off. Just slammed it, all the stuff back in the bag, threw it in the car, threw the kids into it and drove home. That was the shoot that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And then, because I must have been tired or something, there's a lock on Canons where you can lock the aperture ring so it can't spin the aperture. Now, I know this. I pull people up on it all the time.
Oh, no. that's embarrassing.
It's a weekly thing for me. Batteries, memory cards, rock dial. Funny. So I said, I'm off to the US early the week after next.
Yep.
But I want to give anyone who listens in Southern California, come on down to the big photo show at LA Convention Center. Come down and see me.
Yeah.
I'm doing a limited edition print signing session on the Tamron stand booth.
Oh, cool.
So, but they call them booths over there. We call them stands here.
Whose prints are you signing?
Mine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I said, but wouldn't people prefer somebody else's? And they go, nah.
Or maybe just get an Annie Leibovitz, just sign your name on that.
I can't say not any Leibovitz. Yes, I'm doing it. So they call them boots. We call them stands because you tend to stand up all day.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a limited edition print giveaway. There's 100 prints that I'm giving away on the stand booth. Big ones, like 13-19s and stuff.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Inches, didn't it? Then I'm doing some live shooting on the show floor, and I'm doing a lighting masterclass. So if you are in Southern California and in the area, come on. And there's a link on my Facebook page, Glen Lavender Facebook page, which I think gets you $5 off entry as well. So it's $15 instead of $20 for what should be a fairly good day. It's two days, but it depends which day you go. Wouldn't imagine you go for both days. So that's going to be good. So come on down. And if you are a listener, come and say hello.
Yeah, definitely.
Love to. And I'll be hanging around either the Paul's photo booth or the Tamron booth for most of the weekend when I'm not working, shooting and stuff. So come on down.
Right. Now, while we flippantly remark about knocking off Annie Leibovitz and passing them off as Glenn Lavender photos, did you see the thing on Pro Counter Australia this week about the groundbreaking copyright precedent? Why? Who writes it?
Oh, it's a guy called Keith Shipton, and we've been at loggerheads many a time in the past.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I find him a bit of an arrogant sod, but he probably feels the same about me. And we know at least one of us is right.
Fair enough. Well, anyway, this was interesting. The headline was Groundbreaking Copyright Precedent. And basically the short version of the story is a business who were – it's a travel business in Australia who – had used images that were taken by a photographer from where? Hawaii. An Hawaiian photographer, without his consent, went ahead and used these images for promoting their travel business. He, basically took them to court here in Australia. Yeah. And the court awarded damages to the photographer to the tune of $23,850. And,
Probably more than he would have got for selling them normally. He's done it right for himself.
Probably.
Steal away, people. Just let me know when you have so I can sue you.
Yeah. So the thing I liked was the person, the defendant, is it? The person who's guilty?
Yes.
Yeah, the defendant didn't bother to show up in court, so ended up getting another 12.5 grand's worth of damages assigned to them. So, in total, it came to about 23.8. But the interesting thing was that the last paragraph, as the AIPP advised in the April edition of The Working Pro, if you find someone has infringed your copyright, send them a letter and refer them to the court case, Tyler versus Seven, S-E-V-I-N, they're much more likely to pay your fee than risk a higher damages award. So, yeah, interesting.
At least you know where to price your work at, don't you? Yeah. 20% off 23,000.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll call it even 18,000 and it's off we go.
So it's good to see that, there are instances where the right thing is being done eventually by the photographers in terms of compensation for stolen work.
And that Pro Counter is a fairly new thing.
Is it?
It's only been out a couple of months, I think. So was it procounter.com.au, something
like
that?
That's the one?
Yeah, so if you haven't come across it before, if you are a working photographer, it is aimed at mostly Australian working photographers, but I'm sure there's relevant info on that. And knowing Keith, who writes it, he can sniff out a good story. So it's worthwhile watching.
Yeah. So I can't remember where I saw this. It was obviously on Facebook. Somebody else had posted it up, and I went and had a look at it and went, oh, that looks like good fodder for the podcast. So
yeah.
So anyway.
Good job. Nicely done.
Cool. What else we got?
I got the photographic equivalent of you've inherited $1 million from Nigeria this week.
Oh, okay.
You know that email.
Yeah. I'm familiar with the Nigerians.
Well, on my Flickr, I've got two Flickr accounts, and on both of my Flickr accounts, I got an identical email from a company called Crowd Media, crowdmedia.co. It could be .com, and I've just cut off the link, I don't know.
Right.
But Crowd Media. And they basically, what I think they're doing is they're realizing this Getty Flickr Association is coming to a bit of an end. They're now trying to scoot around and emailing as many people as they can and try and get them to sign up to give them their photo rights.
Oh,
so they can on-sell photos to people, and they'll split the revenue with you 50-50, which is very generous of them. But you don't get a choice to say what price they're doing. But, I love this. They say, look, you take beautiful, authentic photographs, and I'd love to add some of your Flickr photos to Crowd Media's collection in a profile made just for you with your copyright and your attribution. It's a new place. Crowd Media is a new place where thousands of photographers like you reveal how they see our world and get their photos discovered by publishers. To help you get more visibility, we may push some of your photos to editorial publishers. No commercial use, because of course no one's got them
budgets.
No one's got photo releases. Model releases.
Oh right, yeah, of course.
They can't do anything commercial use, because how many people would you approach on Flickr that would have a photo of a person that's got the release for it?
Yeah.
Almost none.
None.
But it goes on and on, and basically you can opt in with just pressing pretty much clicking one button and you're in.
Yeah, right.
And you can get out by just pressing two buttons, so it's twice as hard to get out as to get in, in other words. but that's just and of course I got that exact same email on both of my accounts.
Right.
And I just thought, yeah, here we go. Here's someone being a little bit opportunistic and trying to jump in. And it is actually, .co, not .com.
Yep. Right.
And I just don't know. I just felt a little bit like someone from Nigeria is trying to give me some money. didn't feel quite as genuine, or something I wouldn't necessarily trust too much, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
So I just don't know. I don't necessarily like their method of approach.
Mm.
So if anyone else has been getting the same emails on Flickr, let us know. That'd be interesting to know.
And if you have accepted their proposal, keen to hear if you've actually seen any coin.
Yeah, do you think you'll be retiring early? Yeah, it'll be very interesting. Now, I've got to send out a big thank you.
Right.
A big thank you to Steve Peters.
Okay.
Queenslander, so I should speak a little bit slower for him. it's hot up there, but Steve sent through a thing this week on the Light Blaster.
Right. And what is the Light Blaster?
I've got to tell you, I have not been so excited about a photo gadget since the last time I was this excited about a photo gadget.
Okay.
That's exactly true, Bruce. Well, the Light Blaster basically is a flash-powered slide projector.
Okay.
So it's basically just a device.
So you can look at your slides for 1/2000th of a second.
You plug your flash in one end, and it has a Canon Nikon mount on the other end, so you can put lenses on either end, on the other end, to act as your projector lens to do the projection.
Right.
And then you put your slides in the middle.
Yeah.
But the whole point is this can now be triggered with your normal radio trigger. So when you're firing off a flash in a scene, you can also fire this device and project stuff in your images with the same light intensity, so the same exposure values, or varied, if you can vary the flash unit. But one of the biggest problems, if you ever want to do projected image stuff around flash, is that you put a normal data projector or something, they're so dull as far as power-wise goes,
yep.
You're always struggling to get exposure.
Right.
But this, firing out your flash at full exposure, you're able to bounce and do pretty much like the Vivid festivals, all these festivals where people light up buildings with images.
Right.
We can kind of do with this little tool.
Oh, okay.
Or we could light up our subjects. We could have a subject dressed in white and project stuff onto them.
Right.
You can imagine, I'm going to do, this is a shot I've got in mind to do, is having a model all in white.
Yep.
Right. And in a really grungy urban scene, and then project onto her white a lovely rural scene.
Oh, okay.
You can do all this sort of creative, sort of artistic stuff. I'm even going to be starting running some Light Blaster workshops later in the year.
Right. So you've got to have an image on slide, though.
That's it. So how hard does it have? You can actually buy boxes of images in slides. They actually have different kits available with different types of industrial or urban or rural stuff on them as well. So you can buy these little creative kits.
Oh, okay.
Or you can make your own. Obviously, but just you can go down and print out on transparent material on your printers these days,
right?
Yeah, and put them into a slide frame and project through those. And there's a myriad of opportunities.
Yeah, okay.
So things like $99.
Yeah, right.
It's not, well, because it's only a piece of plastic. the flash and the lens are the two expensive bits.
Yeah.
But it just seems like such a cool, fun gadget.
Yeah,
and
right.
That's stuff I just love, is fun, cool gadgets. but I'm going to go do some city walks at night. Once I get this next lot of trips, I've got a couple of trips to the US coming up. Once I get those over and done with,
yep.
I'll probably start doing some night, and we're going to take a group with a model around the city, find some cool alleyways and stuff, and either project stuff onto the walls or project stuff on the models, and shoot and get some really cool sort of interesting stuff going on.
Yeah, right.
So I was rather delighted. Thank you, Steve. You made my week.
Awesome.
Yeah. That's a bad joke. I don't know what the age of our audience is. I shouldn't play that joke.
Which joke?
But this is just me. He didn't just make my day. He made my whole week, shall we say. doesn't matter. Okay. Innuendo is more than just an Italian suppository. and then I came across this thing in my local paper this week, which I just loved. It's called Creepy Chinese Guy.
Right.
Was the headline.
Yeah.
And it's this guy that for his fourth anniversary of his relationship with this girl has decided to go Photoshop himself into all his girlfriend's photos of when she was a young girl, like five and six.
Right.
But yeah. He didn't go Photoshop his young self in with her, which would have been probably cute. He's put himself in as a grown man. And there's a shot there where he's half lifting her dress.
Yes, I'm just looking at that. That's just a bit creepy.
Just kind of all sorts of wrong. But I said, yeah, okay, go and get some photos of yourself at that same age and pretend that you've been together. That's kind of romantic and a bit cute.
Yeah.
But you as a creepy guy stalking this little 5-year-old girl.
That's a bit weird.
Oh, so nice.
I much preferred the Chinese woman that we talked about a few episodes back who got all of her own childhood photos and then photoshopped herself in as an adult standing beside her younger self.
That's kind of cool.
That was really cool.
That's very Jonathan Livingston Seagull-ish if you've ever read the book. Your future self talking to your past self and vice versa. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. But creepy old dude.
Bit not odd.
Not so good. We're going to put a link up in the notes for National Geographic Travel Photography Photo Contest.
Right.
Is going on. So I've got the link there for people who like to be involved in that. And that got me thinking about landscape. I came across the top 5 tips for landscape, to how to take world-class landscape photos.
Right.
I didn't necessarily agree with them, so I've written my own.
Okay.
You do, you know. Now, of course.
Mate, what are you doing?
What?
You're moving around and there's this scratching sound and you're not staying in the same position relative to your microphone.
I'm wobbling my head on the pillow. Okay, I'll sit up. You want me to start it again? All right.
You take this laziest photographer really seriously, don't you?
You can't just let it happen, Bruce. You've got to work at it.
Man.
Let's just keep going. Don't even cut that out. That's comedy. That's comedy aluminium right there. Aluminium for our American friends. Yes. That's comedy bronze. Fantastic. So I've got my top 5 world-class landscape photo tips.
Excellent. Hit me with them.
Being the lazy photographer, I've just got the points. I haven't actually got any detail.
Just the headlines. Just the bullet points.
Pretty much. Fill in the rest yourself, you know. Step one, and this one, I think, I've always found in any multi-step process, starting at step one is always the best place. You jump straight to number 3, it just confuses people. Right. So step one, go to an amazing place.
Right.
If you want world-class, amazing landscape photos, don't shoot your backyard, effectively, is what I'm saying to you. Go somewhere interesting. Go, here's a novel thing, go somewhere where not everyone else has been to. Yeah? I'm fleshing these points out as I go, Bruce.
I can tell.
Yeah. Go to it. I don't think I've nailed it. And just that it's succinct. I've nailed it. Go to an amazing place straight away.
Okay.
Step two, just almost, but not quite as important as step number one, have the right equipment. So if you've got the wrong equipment, Bruce, like audio equipment as an example,
it makes it harder to take photos. Yeah.
You're not going to get much at all. Not much at all. So have the right to. This is killer. Step number 3, I think I've really honed in. Compose it amazingly.
Nice.
Don't just compose it crap. Don't just compose it pretty darn good. compose it amazingly.
Excellent.
I think if you want a world-class landscape,
yeah,
you want to sort of set the bar high and compose it amazingly.
Yeah, yeah? Absolutely.
Step four, and this is kind of a given, I should probably even have it in there, just wait for incredible light. Right. Don't settle for amazing. Don't settle for, oh, that's pretty darn good. Sit there as long as it takes. Hey, if it's a year-long photo competition you're waiting to get into, yeah, you've got a year.
Yeah, that's right.
And then number five, I think once you've gone through all those steps and brought those things together and made it happen, number five, slap it around in Photoshop until it looks nothing like the day you were there. That's pretty important too.
Right.
It can't look anything like the amazing thing you just had. You've got to make it, you know, pimp it up, make it 10 times more than what it already is.
Right.
And I think that should just pretty much do us. I reckon we should be able to win every competition.
Yeah.
You have, being that I'm not a landscape shooter, I may have oversimplified things. is there maybe a 0.6 that you could think of, Bruce? Ignore the
It's actually 5B. It goes in between 5 and 6. Oh, no, between 4 and 5. So it's 4B.
Ooh.
Yes, 0.4B. Use the right settings.
Oh, of course, yes.
Use the settings that are right for the shot.
Which settings do I need to get every photo perfect? The right ones.
That's it.
Back to our man, Mr. Davidson. There you go. No, I reckon that's it. And that's about it. Yeah, I reckon. And if you want to win the photo competition,
pay the right judges.
Well, enter it into a competition where no one else has won as good.
Yeah.
That should be it. The Glenn's top one list for how to win photo competitions. World's best. How do you have the world's best portrait? Well, have one that's better than everybody else.
That's it.
Very simple stuff.
The one-stop method.
Now, the lovely folk at Elancrom this week rang me up and said they've got some new lights for me to have a bit of a play with.
Oh, cool.
They've got some new studio lights called ELCs.
So you're going to give me your old Quadra, yeah?
No, that's affordable. This is studio.
What?
Studio lights.
Yeah.
Not on location lights.
Oh, okay.
Now, these are the new ELCs.
Okay.
Now, any photographer or journalist or person talking to the public worth his salt would, of course, found out what ELC stands for.
Right.
That's not me. If it's something that interests you, Google it. But they're ELCs. And I don't even know what's even good about them, to be honest with you, Bruce. They said, come down and get some. I said, oh, I will, because it's free. Yeah. But a couple of things I did have a quick look at, because I was supposed to go to, they had a big event down here in Melbourne with some photographer doing a studio thing, shoot, demonstrating them on Monday night, but I kind of forgot to go.
Oops.
Well, I was out shooting with you all. Well, fortunately, it wasn't me doing the demonstration, so it's not quite so bad. Been out shooting with you all day. I was tuckered out. I didn't feel like going out watching someone else take photos, but I actually did forget about it.
Right.
But they have much higher speed, flash speed durations.
Right.
Much shorter durations.
As in shorter?
Yeah, shorter.
Yep.
Yeah. Faster shutter speed, shorter duration for freezing subjects better, which would be kind of fun.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and they're doing a lot of their demonstration shots and, all these, different coloured powders like you get on the colour runs and stuff like that, but
right.
freezing all the stuff in midair. So it's shooting at 5,260th of a second.
Wow.
The duration of the light. And they can flash up to 20 frames a second, which is pretty cool.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is only 2.5 times faster than my fastest camera does. It's very useful. But it also can do strobing. Yeah,
right.
Which is kind of cool. So if you want to multi-burst and have, say, someone dancing and have them 3 or 4 times moving through a shot,
yep,
no problem at all. It does rear curtain sync, which I thought was kind of cool.
Nice.
And so you can play around a little bit of stuff there. So that was kind of cool. I'm looking forward to having to play with those, and I might, when I get back from America, get someone in and do some shoots.
And you've got the Skyport built into it.
Oh, yeah, all Elancrom lights do, so you can
oh, okay.
even the really entry level at $799 kits, it comes with a Skyport and you can power the flashes up and down from your camera rather than walking over the stand.
That was beautiful. I love that.
That is great, isn't it?
It is awesome.
And you can imagine if you're in a studio and your stand's up 10 foot and it's on just the right angle, the pain of getting to try and change the power, but just on the Skyport, it's very, very cool.
Yeah. Really nice.
And as a lazy man's photographer, I don't want to walk the 5 feet to my flash to change the current.
Well, it's fine if it is only 5 feet, but if your light's 200 meters away.
Yeah, but you saw some of the shots that we were doing on Monday. I mean, I'm laying in the dirt, really obscure angles. I don't want to get up just to change a tenth of a stop.
No.
Two-tenths of the stop exposure on my flash.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, two presses on the button and away you go.
Yeah.
It is very, very convenient. And speaking of what we did on Monday, we shot with the Elenchrom Quadra kit, the Quadra Ranger portable lighting kit, and they're a joy to use, aren't they?
Oh, I loved it.
Just a great piece of kit.
Absolutely loved it. You're obviously getting a kickback.
But I do love it. I'm shooting by myself, I prefer because of the big battery pack and the ability to power up and down.
Well, as I've shot with the FlashWave triggers, and I love the FlashWave triggers, but, as you quite rightly pointed out, with those, you don't have the ability to control the output of the flash from the camera. You've got to go to where the flash is and dial the power down or up, whichever way it needs to go. Having the Skyport was just awesome.
Yeah, and I love all my flash to be manual. I don't like any TTL. I don't want to be able to. People say, but if you're using TTL, you can power your flash up and down through that. But I want my photos right first time every time, exposure wise. And you don't get that with TTL.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, I can teach someone how to get their exposure right first shot every single time easily. I can't teach the experience of flash exposure compensation to fix the mistakes that TTL makes.
Yeah. So what methodology would you use to teach someone how to do that? Would you start rolling out the, your aperture and guide number formula?
So it has to be math.
Yeah, right.
Because
okay.
math always works.
Yeah.
Math is consistent.
Okay.
Three plus one always equals four.
Yeah.
Every single time you do it for the rest of your life.
It's just knowing how lazy you are. I thought, he's not going to go for the maths.
But I'm good with numbers. But you saw it on the day. I don't actually do that.
No.
But to teaching, you have to teach them something that's going to work every single time. But personally, I don't shoot that way.
Right.
Yeah, I shoot far more by feel than by thought.
Yep.
Yeah, and either way, though, it's right.
Yeah.
Pretty much straight away. Or within one shot, I've got my exposure up. But that's, once again, you can't teach that because that's duration and experience and just simply time at the coal face.
Yeah.
So you can't teach that, but you can teach 3 + 1 = 4.
Totally.
And so I'm a strong believer in learning why stuff works and then you can repeat it. And so the problem with TTL, off-camera flash TTL, it's going to be inconsistent. It's going to give you different results at different times, looking at different subjects from different angles.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I want the same every time, straight away, because I don't want to fiddle with technology. I just want it to be right.
Yeah, you only need your model to turn and the amount of reflected light to change, because of their skin tone.
Yep.
And your TTL flash is going to change its output.
Yep, exactly. And you're constantly adjusting you do your math, you plonk it down, you start shooting, and you're within cooee. You're pretty darn close. Funnily enough, just go back to the other Elenchrom lighting kit. Hello, Mr. Elenchrom. Send me some new gear. by chance, just tonight, I came across a video on high-speed sync flash.
Right.
Studio flash in combination with continuous tungsten light. And this guy's doing 1 second long exposures.
Right.
With combining tungsten and continuous light, which is obviously much less power.
Yep.
And high-speed flash. So he's freezing his subject with high-speed flash and then allowing movement. He's doing like 1 second long exposure. He's doing this photograph of this woman in this headdress, and the whole headdress looks like it's on fire. It was on F-stoppers this week. But it's kind of cool. I'm probably going to have a play with that with these Elenchrom lights when I get back. I'll do something in a similar vein probably.
Right.
Playing with movement and freezing at the same time is something I love to do. Yeah, it's a choice. So that's a cool little, it's only a 2-minute video, but it's pretty cool to watch. And then the trouble and strife sent through a video even.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she did. She's good, my missus. She didn't. It was actually another video clip from another band, which she didn't realize. We talked about Beyonce last week, but this one's called Sparkles and Wine. And I didn't. The kids were going to bed, so I didn't have the volume turned up. So I'm not sure what the sound's like. But basically, it's just this video of this woman's face with a moving light source around her, and it also changes color around her. So, and it shows how this light source moves, how it completely changes the shape of her face.
Right.
So, once again, it's kind of a follow-on from Beyonce about how textures and tones, but this is all about a lot more noticeable about shapes and face shapes and how different people light from different zones, how it can totally change how they look.
Yep.
So, once again, another great little video for lighting examples, which I was, it's a 1.5 minute long little jobby, but I thought it was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, right. I did go and watch the single ladies video clip after we spoke about it. And yeah, it's not all one shot. There are a couple of edits in there, but it is for the most part all.
Yeah, it's near as damn it.
Yeah, yeah,
and it's
exactly.
Someone stuffed up. It's not because they were trying to do anything tricky with the lighting.
No.
It's probably just a simple, someone fluffed a line or slipped over or something,
Yeah, but the way the lighting changes throughout that clip is very clever.
Yeah, and we're seeing how it changes texture and tone and shape and reflectivity and contrast is wonderful.
Yeah, and there's one part in the song too where it's almost like the camera is being flown around on a, like a gimbal or something.
Yeah,
And it almost makes it look like the... the white seamless backdrop is actually a 360-degree...
Yeah, doing a bowl.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
So it's an exceptionally well-done video. I'd love to know who actually shot it, who's responsible for the lighting, because it's
masterful.
Right. So, once again, I'll just go back and watch that again, because I never tire of watching something that's great.
Yeah, right.
As far as it's not... I don't like the song. I'm not a big fan necessarily. I don't like the dancing style. I don't like anything about the content.
Yeah,
I just love the light.
Yeah, right.
And that always inspires me to watch that sort of stuff over and over again. I also, was it named Adam Davidson sent out, speaking of photographs and vision and stuff, did you see the thing he sent through about the pinup girls?
No, I didn't.
He sent through an article on 1950s pinup girls.
Oh, okay.
And it's those really airbrushed sort of cartoon type drawing airbrush images that are fairly iconic by a guy called Gil Elvgren.
Right.
And the photos that they were taken, images are taken from. So it was great. You've got all these iconic sort of images and then the actual shot that was taken as the base for the image, which I thought was terrific.
Wow.
It was great to see that. And there's like a good 20 or so images there to have a look at that.
Yeah, I'm just having a look at them now. Wow, that's amazing.
Very cool. it's interesting that it wasn't just a photograph. It wasn't just a drawing. It was actually drawing from a photograph.
Yeah,
you would have thought if he does those sort of images so often, you should be able to just draw it.
Yeah.
At today's workshop, this is semi-relevant. At today's workshop, like all my things are semi-relevant, one of the women at today's workshop is a painter.
Okay.
And likes to paint portraits. So we got into quite an interesting discussion about, because if you're painting your portraits over a fairly long period of time,
it
might take hours to paint a proper portrait or even longer, or over multiple sittings. And the difference between that captured image and a moment in time of that person. Yeah, assume the same lighting, same composition, same everything, but how differently it tells the story of the person. And so I was talking about showing the image of my then 2 3/4-year-old girl, the first ever proper photo shoot I did. It was only a few weeks ago when she actually sat down and posed.
Yeah.
And halfway through the shoot, which only went for 2 or 3 minutes, it wasn't a long thing, but she just stopped and turned and put this gaze on down the camera, this intensity that I've never seen before, never seen since, and it lasted like a minute.
Right. But
there was this power and intensity down the lens, which was just, it blew me away, just looking, and I loved the shot, but looking through the camera, I just saw it turn on, and I captured it and I saw it go away. And I've never, it was a glowering kind of strength and look, which I probably won't see until teenage angst years again.
That's just what I was thinking.
It's coming back, baby, with interest. But it was there just for that moment. And as a photographer, I can capture that moment.
Yeah.
But you can't paint that.
No.
Because you build it over a long period. And so we sort of came to the decision that a photograph is we make the laws for art, of course. We decide this is the way it should be. A photograph is great at capturing that particular emotive experience that we're having at that time, and it tells that one instant of that person and can show quite a bit of who that person is. But a painting sort of takes all those varying emotions and changes during the course of a thing and kind of amalgamates them all.
Yeah.
So a painted portrait is more a multifaceted version of you, where a photograph is
it's
you
like
in
a
that
time
moment.
Compressed version.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was not something I thought about before, but we had quite a cool little discussion about it at lunchtime, which I enjoyed, and it's always good to hear. I love talking to artists because they have such a different perspective.
Yeah,
about right. Another shot we're talking about today was light painting.
Yeah,
and it was a shot of the church in Lake Tekapo in New Zealand at night time that I've got with long time exposure, so star trails. But where I've light painted part of the church to highlight it, otherwise it'd be a silhouette.
Yeah,
and I'm trying to explain the process that you do the light painting at the end of the exposure, not the beginning of the exposure, even though the exposure was only 15 minutes. If you put it on the beginning, well, you have 14 and a half minutes or whatever of darkness building up over your image.
Right.
Whereas you do your light painting at the very end, so you capture all the silhouette, all the darkness, and then you put your highlights on the top. Because that's exactly the same as painting, because you always paint your highlights in last.
Yeah, right.
And I've never thought of that because it makes perfect sense, because if you put your highlights and then painted other stuff over the top of it, you wouldn't see it.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how many similar sort of crossovers there are between photography and painting.
Wow.
So yeah, it was nice having someone with those sort of skills along. She couldn't take a photo to save herself, but she was interesting. I'm only being serious. So now I also came across just tonight. I don't know how it came. I think it was on my Facebook feed. Someone put up they liked a website called learnphotoediting.net.
Oh dear.
Now I've never heard of it before, but it's a pretty decent name. It's succinct. It tells you exactly what they do. Yeah, Kelby Training doesn't tell me squat, really, does it?
No.
You know, lynda.com, hello. What? Learn photo editing. Oh, I wonder what they do. Yeah, creative photo workshops. Now, what that's all about. Yeah, I'm not a very smart man, Bruce. Yeah. Life is like a box of chocolates. But for those interested, look, I've gone on his site and looked, and there's some crud. He's only got like 20 or so videos so far or training modules so far, but he's saying he's going to be building up. But just at this moment, he's got a $27 lifetime
membership
for $27. I think, how can he go wrong? You pick up two or three tips out of those 20 videos, you've done all right for $27. And if you happen to get more stuff down the track, so I'm prepared to, I'm going to register and just because I like watching stuff.
Yeah.
A bit of spare time on my hands. If you want, learnphotoediting.net. There's not even anything for me, Bruce. I'm not even getting any kickbacks. But yeah, that's $27 could be reasonably well spent.
Yeah.
A couple of cups of coffee over a couple of days, not bought, and you paid for it, and who knows.
Yeah,
because that's one of the things people do struggle with the most is photo editing.
Yeah,
and finding good resources, and so okay, it's not a big investment to see if it's any good.
Right. Yeah. To me, the biggest challenge with, like, because I'm just scrolling down the page now and looking at some of the edits that he's done.
Yeah.
For me, it's having that creative vision of knowing where I want it to go.
Yeah. Yeah,
like if I can imagine it, then I personally feel like I've got, most of the Photoshop skills. I can bring it to life as long as I can imagine it in my head first.
I can't.
Right. Okay.
I don't have the Photoshop skills. I can't cut out someone, for example.
Right.
Well I could probably. I'm just never going to spend the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially going around hair and stuff. I'm just never going to transpose some. There's just too much effort. I'll just do something else. But I want to be good at Photoshop. I really do.
Yeah.
I know I never will be.
Right.
I always wanted to be a, I didn't really, but I wanted to be a 100-meter sprinter. So I just understand my limitations as a human being and my motivations don't lack. But I said, if you go through these videos, I said, if you just pick up two or three tips,
yeah,
oh, that's a different way of doing dealing with skin, or that's a different way of dealing with that back, that type of back. You know, and it just pick up little things. It goes through a lot of stuff called color grading, which I don't know anything about. But it's in pretty much most of his videos, so obviously he uses it quite a lot. And some of his stuff's kind of garbage, but some of it's interesting. And with any of these things, the examples he's showing may be a bit extreme. You can always tone those things back so they're not quite so overt.
Right.
And your own more subtle impression on them. But I said, $27, I don't think you can go too far wrong.
Yeah.
In learning just if you pick up half a dozen skills you didn't have for $27, pretty well done.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of research. I'm sure there's lots out there. I just never bother looking at them. But you can access reasonably good info reasonably easily.
Mate, as we are recording this, I've just scrolled right down to the bottom of the page. He's discounted it even further.
What, Dan? Less than $27?
It is now $24 for a lifetime membership.
$24?
Mate, just keep waiting. It'll be free before you know it.
Wait, you can send me some money. No, actually, I remember now. It was $24 when I looked too. I remember seeing $27 and you had $3 off. So once again, $24.
Yeah.
That's four cups of coffee or something.
Yeah.
How could you not? Yeah, how could you not?
Yeah.
So go and look at that. Do yourself a favor. I would like his site to have a couple of one free tutorial, so I could see if his voice annoys me or something.
Yeah.
I'm so fickle. I don't like his voice. I don't want to listen to his videos. He may not talk or explain the way you want to. He may assume too much knowledge or whatever. But
yeah.
I would like to watch that. But anyway, another thing I stumbled across tonight, which I kind of like.
Yeah.
A 300 plus square foot pinhole image.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a seriously big
pinhole image.
Big pinhole image. Yeah, it's at the Air and Space National Air and Space Museum in America.
Right.
It's a 3,375 square foot photograph. There you go.
Wow.
It's 31 feet high and 107 foot wide.
Wow. That's a big photo.
It was actually done in 2006. It's a massive pinhole camera, and they transformed an old fighter jet hangar into a giant pinhole camera.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool. If you're interested in that sort of stuff, they've got all sorts of little images and stuff of it and blurb and info in the link we'll put out there. Another little gem that I found, which tickled my fancy. And I stumbled across this shot. I've got this shot I want to do tomorrow that I saw something on a Joe McNally page reminding me to use a tool that I've had for ages and never actually bothered using. It's one of McNally's lighting modifiers. So I thought, I'll take that for tomorrow's shoot. So I just went back on there to see which one he was, if it was exactly the same one. And I came across something I'd never seen before on his website, which might have been there for ages. But he's got this a whole bunch of fashion images from Beijing.
Right.
And I love Beijing. My wife grew up there for quite a few years, and so we've got we've been there together and stuff. It's a place we like.
Right.
So I went and had a look. He's got some of them. Yeah, I'm not real keen on some of them, but he's got some tremendous images on there.
Yep.
Which is, once again, if you'd like, just looking at really cool photos, good fashion shots. He's got some lovely stuff there. And that's kind of it for me for the week. I've had I've been collating stuff for several days this week rather than just 10 minutes before the show started.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Like I said, I have nothing more to add.
No.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough of me talking about myself. How about you talking about me for a while?
You'll be happy to know I have lined up another shoot. Yeah. A model who's up here on the Central Coast, she friended me on Facebook, year and a half ago, and at the time said, would love to shoot with you sometime. And I, at the time, said, I will do something one day. And, of course, then promptly got into my 12-month funk of not shooting. And then she saw the stuff that you and I shot with Sarah down in Melbourne on Monday.
Yeah.
And she reached out and she said, hey, you know, I love the images. Would really love to do something with you. And
well, even after she saw your photo. Yeah,
even after that, mate. Even after that. And, that's one thing. I did have one more thing. I thought I had that.
It was an explosion of joy at the end of the podcast.
But
wait, there's more.
I know why. It's on email. It's not in my text list. That's why I haven't got it here.
What are you getting so excited about?
So she sent me a link to a website called photographyhotspots.com.au.
Okay.
And what this is a basically a social media site, if for want of a better description, for photographers to create a profile of a location they've discovered that they think other photographers might enjoy shooting.
Oh, I've seen this before. I don't think it used to be called that. I think it used to be called something else.
Oh, okay.
Or there's a similar version of it. And people used to do up little location briefs.
Yeah, and so you can put a couple of images from the location and you can describe how to get to it if access to it is tricky. And you put a pin on Google Maps and it, you know, links all that information into the profile. And so basically you can search by state. And, you know, if you're traveling to a particular location, you can just check out the Google map and see whether there are any pins that have been dropped, you know, in that area that you're going to be in, and find some locations that you might otherwise have not discovered. And so, as it turns out, just out near Cessnock in the Hunter Valley.
Cessnock?
Yeah. Is this old colliery. And it's this, you know, a little bit like, not quite as awesome as what we were in on Monday, but it's a, you know, a derelict old brick building that's all falling apart and it basically hasn't been used for about 80 years.
Yeah.
And so I said to this girl,
look. What's it called?
The Cessnock Colliery, okay. I think. And it's one of those things that, like, unless you knew where it was, you would never, ever, ever, ever discover it by accident.
That's funny. I'm searching on there, searching Cessnock and coming up with nothing.
Cessnock is Cessnock.
Yeah.
Nothing found.
Match your search criteria.
You're hopeless. Let me find it for you.
Interesting. On their little blurb of stuff up there, of their little images at the top, is a thing called Murphy's Haystacks, which is a place I shot in the middle of nowhere, South Australia, one time.
I've heard of that.
And there they are. Look at it.
Yeah, right. Aren't they rock formations or something?
Yeah, just odd sort of little rock formations.
Yeah.
Well, there's only 206 locations in New South Wales so far, so it shouldn't be taking too long to find your Cessnock.
Yeah. Here we go. Oh, Aberdare. Aberdare. South Colliery. So if I click on that, and that will take me to the location, and then I'll copy that, and I will flick it through to you on Skype. There's the link.
In Lithgow?
Lithgow is probably a 3-hour drive from where I live.
So reasonably close.
If I wanted to make a weekend of it, yeah.
Blast furnace there. That's all very cool. Blast furnace.
Yes. Yeah, the blast furnace is well known.
Oh, that's a cool building. Yeah. That's a very seriously cool building. So you're going to go shoot there, my friend?
The Aberdare South Colliery. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So on the 17th of May, because all my weekends are booked up until then. So.
And does it give you a clue as to what the access is like to get inside there?
Basically, you just follow this residential street until the bitumen runs out. And then you sort of basically just start disappearing into the woodlands on a dirt trail. But you have to make a turn on that dirt trail and then follow that for a few hundred metres before you find this old building just in the middle of the forest. So
that looks fabulous, dude. I look forward to seeing your photos from that. That'll be if you need to, put the girl in the shot as well. But the building looks pretty darn cool.
It does, doesn't it? So, yeah, so I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, good on you, mate. See, what amazing. You go out and you do one shoot and more shoots follow.
That's it.
It's like something's forcing you back into it.
And I've kind of been feeling like I really need to get out and start shooting again because I feel like I was just, getting out of touch with the skills.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I can tell. I've seen some of your photos. Just looking at the photos you put up now, and look at that. Oh, come on. You know it's true. And tell you what, you should have at least used the liquefy tool on my fat belly on that shot. It's given all sorts of people, you know, ammunition to tease me. Someone says, you've got a fat coat on. That's not very nice, is it? Anyway.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
Thank you, my friend. And we shall talk next week.
And that will probably be the last podcast for a couple of weeks. Because after that, you're going to be off and gallivanting around the planet.
Yeah. So we'll make next week's a special bumper, shorter issue, so we don't.
So you don't have
listening to it for quite as long. It's like, you know, first prize, win a Nikon. Second prize, two Nikons. Three Nikons, you know. Anyway.
Oh, dear. All right, mate. Talk to you next week.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email thevoice@shutterzingpodcast.com.